Really? This is what's happening? Okay.
And I wasn't recording that part.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 168 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I am Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com, and with me we have Tanya Higgins of the Webcomic Beacon. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
We also have a couple of guests with us. We have Jules Rivera of ValkyrieSquadron.com. Welcome.
Hello.
I didn't even know what that sound was, but it was...
Very Julia Child.
And...
No.
Well, yes. All right, and we also have Melissa...
I didn't differentiate myself.
Okay. We also have Melissa once again back on the show from The Geek Life at thegeeklife.tv. Welcome.
Again.
Nothing up my sleeve. Presto.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. So this week on the Webcomic Beacon, of course, you can check out at webcomicbeacon.com. As I have already stated, this is episode 168. We update twice a week. Podcast twice a week. We have the newscast, which is at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the core program at 12 p.m. noon Eastern Standard Time. And the second Sunday of the month, we have a trope cast, where we talk about tropes. Imagine that. And but this week, the topic for this week is we're going to be talking about the Bechdel-Wallace test. The Bechdel-Wallace test is also known as the Bechdel test. Based off of, just to get to the beginning going, it's based off of this webcomic that was done by Alison Bechdel, who the comic is called Dykes to Watch Out For. And I keep getting, these calls keep getting dropped, and I don't know why. But it's basically, son of a bitch.
Fez, keep it going.
All right. As I try to get these people back, basically it's a comic out of a series that, where it has these two women that are, one of them is asking whether or not they want to go see a movie and get some popcorn. And the one lady says that there's only one way that she's going to go and see a movie, if it A, has two women in it that B, talk to each other, C, about something other than the guy in the movie. Or something besides a man.
A man, period.
Yeah. And I guess she came to the summation that Alien is the only one that passes that test, because there's two women that talk about the alien. Of course, it's not...
The alien, by the way, is female, especially the queen.
Right.
Yeah.
And the point of this test is not really as literal as that. There's a whole discussion of undertone, which we'll be going into for this show. I will also explain, Alison Bechdel did the comic, and people call it the Bechdel test. Though I did find an interview with her one time, like a year and a half ago, that Alison Bechdel credits her friend Liz Wallace for actually coming up with that line. So I choose to call it the Bechdel-Wallace test, because that's what she said. So I will go with what the creator of the comic said.
Yeah.
So, actually, I don't think it was a web comic, but it was probably...
It started off as just a regular strip comic years and years ago.
Yeah,
way back to the 80s.
1985 is the link, is what I have here, circa. So,
so it's very much not a webcomic that it originated from, because the internet didn't really exist in the 1980s for anyone outside of the military.
Yeah. And I don't think the military was, well, maybe. But anyway, so that is what our discussion is. And I am going to keep trying to MC this this chat as people continually keep dropping, and I don't know why, but we're gonna do our best here. And to get started, we could certainly get started by looking at web comics that pass or don't pass this particular test. So, Jules, I'm gonna point you to start. Since
Tag, I'm in. Okay, so you want me to start? Well, actually, this is a nice compare and contrast because I'm responsible for, or at least single-handedly writing, at least two webcomics. One that I'm just starting up now, and another that started in about 2006, although unofficially it's been around since 2003. First webcomic was Mars Rocket, which consisted of a lot of male characters because, you know, it was kind of just a run-and-gun kind of action piece. And it actually fails a Bechdel Wallace left and right because there really aren't that many female characters to begin with. But the two female characters who are super bestie friends and, you know, whenever they do get around to talking to each other, a lot of times they aren't talking about a man. But I think the first appearance that they're in, that they have together, one is just kind of mocking the other because she thinks that, oh, man, you like this one guy. So, yeah, I fail. And the rest of the comic consists of a lot of the male characters talking back to each other. And this was not really meant as any kind of affront to the female gender. It's just my story just happened to consist of a lot of dudes. that's actually kind of not uncommon for a lot of female creators. As I've moved on, I've since left Mars Rocket, and I've decided to move on to another project called Valkyrie Squadron, which passes Bechdel Wallace within the first, like, one or two pages. And the reason being is that there are simply more women. The whole story is about women. Valkyrie Squadron is a story about four women. They're on a team of space war fighters. You know, one's a pilot, one's kind of a running gunner, the other's a squadron leader, and the other is a science officer. And they go and they fight robots in space. And as absurd as that premise sounds, you actually get a lot of passes with Bechdel Wallace, but that's simply because you have four women who have a lot to talk about that doesn't have to do with guys. Meaning, oh man, the robots are totally going to kill us, or we have to this rescue, or we have to, again, not get killed by robots. There's a lot of subject matter to work with. Now, granted, there is some talk of romance, but it's not at the forefront of the whole series. It's just really this one particular character and this one relationship that she has. There's some speculation going on about it because she's being very, very secretive about it. But other than that, there are plenty of reasons for this series not to fail Bechdel Wallace. And I think one major way to not fail Bechdel Wallace is just to have more than a few female characters in your story and have an overarching issue for them to talk about that's not some kind of romance. Because if you have a romance story, then, you know, that's a big danger zone right there. Because in romance, girls, what are they going to talk to each other about? Dudes.
Unless it's a lesbian romance.
Unless it's really hot lesbian love, you know what I'm saying?
Or like Pam Harrison's.
That would also fail the Bechdel romance. You know, the
I
Bechdel
was just going to ask. Yeah.
Because technically, they are just talking about things that they want around their vagina. I mean, isn't that really the point? It's not just that they're talking about men.
Right.
They're talking about people they want engaged sexually.
So maybe. I was going to bring up the House of the Muses by Pam Harrison, which is, you know, about the Isle of Lesbos, and it's basically an all women's cast.
Sappho.
But I'm sure other stuff goes on that they talk about for sure. Other than that, I mean, it's history stuff. Things happen. But yeah, that's one of the things. Is like you got to think about, you know, it starts with talking about, you know, two women. But what about the other way around? Men that don't just keep talking about things they want to fuck. I mean,
oh man, I came up in my thoughts about this topic. I actually came across a really interesting example of a reverse Bechdel Wallace, where you have a story where two guys never talk to each other about anything other than the heroines of the story.
That's Sailor Moon, isn't it?
Pretty much.
And you think about it, you're like, oh my god, Darien or Mamoru, depending on how much of a purist you are, he never ever talks to any other dude about anything other than Sailor Moon or the Sailor Soldiers or the mission at hand or how wonderful Serena is or Usagi is. Again,
I was just about to catch you there.
Please, you are not dealing with an amateur Sailor Moon fan, okay? I spent 4 hours yesterday drawing Sailor Moon fan art, so shut up. I'm not the person you want to mess it with on that subject. So, Sailor Moon actually fails the living shit out of the test because there really aren't that many male characters, and they really don't have that much to talk about other than the overarching story. And the overarching story is usually Sailor Moon versus XYZ villain, or Sailor Moon versus the monster du jour.
Or sometimes Sailor Moon versus the upcoming test.
No, she never talks about the test. We always just catch her on the failing end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Serena.
I got a 30. Oh. Like, she always gets a 30 for some weird reason. She fails a test very specifically all the time. It's
that's quite a low percentile.
Probably for the same reason that, Team Rocket always eats what they call cupcakes, but they're really like rice cakes wrapped in seaweed, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe it's a bizarre transfer, a cultural transfer.
Yeah, that's a cultural transfer thing. I would like to move on before we get more into this discussion. Mark, does your comic fail the Bechdel-Wallace test?
I don't think so.
Do you have two women that talk to each other?
There are two women.
No,
there's women. They talk to each other, but it's not always about men.
Or, I mean,
sometimes it's about coffee.
Is it about? I don't know, because it doesn't. Your women don't seem to pop up as often, of course, because you usually follow Mark around and Dennis a lot. And it's like offhand, I can't think of a particular scene. Well, you have a vast archive as well, but.
There was the one that comes to mind immediately is the one with the special holiday coffee. That was two women talking, wasn't it? Were both of the girls in that one?
Yeah. Yeah, they're talking about coffee. There you go.
The strict interpretation of the test is they have to be talking about something other than a man. Coffee is not a man.
Totally not.
And you probably wouldn't want it near your vagina.
Yeah, that'd probably...
Well, I don't know. Caffeine apparently does good things. But
I don't know. Iced coffee would be better than hot coffee there. I don't know.
Yeah. Lukewarm would be even better than iced. Good night.
Tepid coffee would be hot. Is that what you're saying?
I can think of rather other things I'd rather do, but... Anyway.
All right, what about...
When they talk about a man... it's not always in the romantic sense. So maybe...
It's like, oh, Mark,
But it's still they're talking about
Mark. I saw Mark down at the grocery store. You know, does that fail the test?
That women are supposed... I mean, an ideal woman in the face of the Bechdel-Wallace test has more to do in her life than talk about dudes. Even if it's dudes who are... bothering them or seen as antagonistic. They've just got more. It's their lives don't revolve around men is the idea.
Well, but now a character who's simply saying, I saw so-and-so here or so-and-so started a new project, that's not talking about men in a relationship sense or in any sort of sexual sense. So, I mean, it would be odd to have women who never talked about men if you have men in the comic. I don't know that that really fails the spirit of the Bechdel-Wallace test.
Well, actually, that's the point.
I think the thing with the Bechdel-Wallace test is it's an overly simplistic test.
Yes.
And the rules are so simple for a reason, because I think it brings up a point where you can pass the Bechdel-Wallace test yet still have an incredibly sexist script.
Oh yeah,
and in the reverse, you could have a tremendously feminist story and still fail the Bechdel-Wallace test. It's an overly simplistic test, and whether or not it fails the spirit of the test is a source of debate. But part of the point is just to get people talking, and that's why it's so simple. It's something that you can keep in your head and easily watch for, and it's very easy to quantify. Are there two women? Are they actual characters with names? Are they talking to each other about something other than men? there you go.
Right.
Now, see, and the interesting thing is I didn't actually know about the test, but then looking back over comics that I've done in the past, I realized that I instituted the Bechdel test just to make a character vapid and annoying. The only character that never had anything to talk about but men was the character I hated and kind of wanted everybody else to hate. It was like, that was the sign to me of someone with no life was someone who was just concerned with their relationship and are they going to get married and that kind of thing. So I sort of did it on purpose to show someone as annoying.
And she is. And the gosh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh my god, I just got the cutest purse the other day.
I have nightmares about those
sparkles
women.
And cupcakes.
Oh gosh.
Oh, I can't take it.
Yeah.
And ironically, Sailor Moon is full of those chicks.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You know, one of the other things is it's not. I keep trying to get Melissa back, and it keeps dropping. Ah, but one of the things is that we have. It's not so much that they're talking about a man. It's a lot more where they are there just to talk about the main character or the male protagonist. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're not really characters, not really fleshed out to talk. They're like,
well, they define themselves by the men in their environment.
Right.
And that's what makes a female character so vapid and insulting. Any woman who defines herself by the men in her life is a woman I don't want to know. And to know that so many Hollywood movies are populated exclusively by those women
and purposefully
makes me want to. On purpose. Makes
Unless
me want to.
She's the first
things.
Lady, maybe.
Maybe.
That might be a
well,
special.
Okay,
case.
You seem to really have two options with most of the big screen movies. She's either a bitch, which is basically what you consider, you know, it's a man with a vagina is the way they portray them, or
like Captain Janeway.
Exactly. Like Captain Janeway.
No, you know, like Claudia Christian on Babylon 5.
It's a dude with a vagina, you know, and what it comes across as, unfortunately, thanks to our culture, is just bitchiness. It comes across as irrational coldness.
I don't know. I don't personally see automatically that somebody's being a bitch if they're not gonna take no crap sort of thing.
But that's you, Fez.
That is me.
In a military context, it makes sense. So we do have to kind of exclude the Star Trek world. That is a military context. And in a military context or in a governmental context, that sort of attitude makes sense, and it doesn't come across as bitchy. But when you look at the kind of popularist movies, the girl that doesn't take any shit and doesn't talk about boys all the time, she's targeted as the one everybody hates.
I don't know. I tend to like those characters.
Well, and the rest of us tend to as well, because they're real people, you know. We do have those extremes. Mm-hmm. You either have a woman who is basically an emasculated man, or you have this vapid, I define myself by the men in my life, and that makes me nauseous.
Mm.
And that's because Hollywood writers suck at their jobs.
I think in part it's
because most Hollywood writers are men.
I wanted to bring this up. If anybody reads from the HawthorLegacy.com blog, there's a writer there called Jennifer Kessler, which has written a couple of blogs, and I'll put these in the show notes, about the Bechdel-Wallace test. And one of the most recent ones, which is, okay, maybe not that recent. There's one post from 2008 where it basically says film schools teach screenwriters not to pass the Bechdel test because it basically goes into saying that's what the audience wants, that's what's marketable, that's what sells. People don't want to hear about that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they don't want to hear about two girls gibbering back and forth. And to get a little more into detail, where the author pulls out this information, she brings out this information, it's because she's talking to one of her male professors. And the male professor says, well, you know, this is really great, you have these women advancing the story, but the audience doesn't want to see that. The audience wants to see more of, you know, the male hero. And she says, well, doesn't it matter if the information advances the story? And the professor's like, no, you know, most people don't want to see it. But like, oh, but that's not what I think, or that's just what they want. Now, a little background on me. I'm an engineer. Not that many people know that I'm an engineer. It's not a terribly well broadcasted fact about me, but I am an engineer. I am a woman who understands numbers, which makes me a very dangerous type of person to a guy like me.
Yep.
Because I would completely take them to task about where they're getting these numbers from. Where are you getting these? How recent is the research? What was your sample population? I understand shit like statistics, okay?
So, well, and the other thing is you have to look at how they're making that determination. Is it just because, are they looking at box office numbers? Well, if you only offer me one flavor, that's the flavor I'm going to buy. Like, that's just a stupid-ass question. You've never given anyone an alternative. How would you know?
We have vanilla and vanilla.
And also you're discounting things like if you look at some of the box office numbers, like some of the most popular films of all time are like Aliens, which is a tremendous, you know, it passes the Bechdel-Wallace test, obviously. But, you know, not only that, you have a strong female lead as well as strong female supporting leads. It's not sold as a girl power movie either. It's an ensemble cast, and that's just the way the film works.
And I do think if you're pushing girl power as your movie feature, you're already looking for a very specific audience and therefore condemning it to not be a box office hit. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't scale down to that extreme and say, oh look, they don't want this. Well, nobody wants that. That's, you know, that's political blowjobs. That's an entirely different thing.
Yeah. Although, you know, here's something kind of a tangential thing that I just thought of. You know, going back to Aliens, you know, directed by James Cameron. Most of James Cameron's films are very feminist in that sense. I mean, you look at Avatar, which I didn't terribly like, but you have strong female characters, you know, both in lead and supporting roles. Terminator, you have Linda Hamilton pretty much as the lead.
Dark Angel,
things like that. And then you look at Catherine Bigelow, who is his ex-wife, in the movies that she produces, Hurt Locker, Point Break, K-19 The Widowmaker, totally guy movies.
Yeah.
Which I think is
tell me Break isn't a piece of cinematic glory.
Oh God, I love Point Break in order
to box the bad guys.
It is absolutely delicious dreck.
Oh God, beautifully bad.
Oh, it's a glorious thing.
Oh man, but,
you know, you don't even see women in those movies. Oh, there's like a woman in Point Break, but
they're superfluous.
And she gets kidnapped.
Yeah, I don't think there's even a woman in the Hurt Locker. I don't think there's a single female character in the Hurt Locker.
Well,
that's gay.
Military setting. I don't think there are a lot of women on those bomb squads. So
there are rules as to where women are allowed to serve, and you're not allowed to serve on anything that's considered a frontline position. So had they put a woman there, I would have called bullshit. Well, it is lame, and it's not lame. Because
you're a woman, so you're like, I don't have to be on the front. Da, 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 da.
No, the reason that it's not lame, unfortunately, is that the more forward as far as a military position, the more forward a woman is in that military position, the more likely she is to be attacked by her own men, which is sick and wrong.
It is.
But also in a war situation, completely unpoliceable. So I'm not all for the like, no, women should be there. It's like, no, they should be safe first. Yeah,
that's kind of why in Valkyrie, I actually have the male and female squadrons split up. So that's why you have them for the men and Valkyries for the women. So the women can be on the front lines, but they're in an all-female squad.
And that would make perfect sense.
But of course, you know, that still doesn't mean that other women can't, you know, victimize each other and, like, other men victimize each other. You know, it's not like a fail-safe, of course. It can still happen,
Yeah, it's not really a fail-safe, but it's kind of at least trying to protect, you know, their own people.
And I would like to state that, by the way, if you are, especially if you are in my fucking army, if you're in the American army and you are fucking doing this to your fellow troops, your colleagues, you are a fucking terrorist to me, and I would like you fucking castrated if you do that fucking bullshit to your own fucking people. I mean, come on.
Castration,
I hear about
by
this
the way,
shit.
Does nothing to stop rape, so let's not go there.
Oh, no, that's just to start. You know, I would personally want these fuckers fucking death penaltied, but that's me, because I'm
How do you really feel about that, Fess?
Anyway, yeah. We're going to take a break while I calm down a little bit.
Well, Fess cools off a little bit.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah,
blood pressure down.
You are not an American if you do that. But all right, we'll be right back.
Just along for the ride.
Okay.
Holy hell.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
Like, I have post-traumatic stress syndrome from a personal attack, and I'm not that angry about it, Fess. You should really look at that. Like, get some help. Wow, of the two of us, like, I should be way more pissed off. But no, I'm wow.
I don't know. But no.
I'm just sitting here.
By the way, okay. As I have
wipe
to...
the foam from your mouth. Sit down. We understand it's a very, very, very hot button topic. We understand you're very, very passionate about it, and that's okay. I'm totally cool with that, but just foam away from your mouth.
Take another value.
All right. As what I have been saying actually a lot lately, has everybody that is a participant on the Webcomic Beacon podcast does speak for themselves and not necessarily for the Webcomic Beacon as a whole.
That's just edited. That's all. Just edit it.
We don't need disclaimer.
I don't edit the show much, really.
Anyone who knows me at all knows that nobody speaks for me but me.
True.
I don't think anybody's confused.
But some people will instill that because so-and-so said on this, they labeled the whole thing.
Oh, well, fuck them. They're stupid.
Well, yeah.
Stupid people. But, I don't do too much of that on my day job.
Oh, I think you worry about it a bit too much.
Don't with the disclaimers. Let it roll.
Hey, the disclaimers...
Except for that time where somebody said we should go back to the... Well, never mind.
Anyway.
What?
So, I wanted to mention, because we mentioned everyone else's comic, I wanted to mention my comic as far as the Bechdel-Wallace test.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think of it, because it does start off with a couple of guys, and I get my female character in there. And actually, I had to think about it for a while. I never really had my own second female character until I went into the Crossover Wars, in which, you know, then I got another character. And honestly, they're not talking about men at all. They're talking about the task at hand, the shit that has to get done. And also, I kind of already purposely started my comic with not wanting to have to deal with relationships and things like that. So it hadn't naturally came up, and it might be going. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I suppose now I have two female characters in my lead cast right now, and I think Nemi might be talking about guys a little bit more in coming up, but I think I mostly pass it.
Yeah, that's good.
Melissa.
Yes.
Let's see here. You don't actually have a comic of your own, but you've worked on some comics.
Oh, yes.
So there's one comic that you've worked on called Dr. Blink Superhero Shrink.
Yeah, Dr. Blink Superhero Shrink. I'm trying to think. I think it passes Bechdel-Wallace. I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure it does. We do have multiple female characters, and John, Chris, and I are all, you know, really consciously minded about, you know, having diversity in our comics. Mm-hmm. It's just it's been a while since I worked on the comic, and I'm going through all the issues going, does that pass? Does that pass? Yeah, Yeah, that one's been pretty good. It's interesting. I think the very interesting comic that I worked on in the past is Femme Noir, which is essentially a film noir with a... It's kind of... The lead character is kind of like the Shadow, only she's female. But I don't think... But I don't think it passes the Bechdel-Wallace test because there aren't many female characters in the comic. And I don't think any of them talk to each other.
Oh.
Yeah. But I find it tremendously interesting because it's the entire story is formed out of this kind of feminist sensibility of, well, what if we make the Shadow a female?
And then they don't speak to each other.
Hotness ensues.
They don't speak to each other.
Hotness ensues. Yeah.
Yeah, hotness definitely does ensue.
You know, I was actually just... I've been sitting here thinking about the comic I'm doing now, and I think I only have one female character.
Gasp.
She doesn't have anybody to talk to.
That's an interesting point. Is there a time when it's kind of justified to fail Bechdel-Wallace?
Well, you know, if you look like we were talking about Hurt Locker, did it make sense to have a female character?
No.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, if you're in a movie like Stalag 17 set in a male prison camp, would there be women there? No.
No. There was women in the movie.
In Stalag 17. Well, Betty Grable.
There were the Russians.
Well, yeah, they were the Russians. They were across the line, you know, and the two guys tried to sneak over there.
Oh, God, that's right. I forgot about those. Yeah.
I don't know if any of them had any lines except giggling, but...
Don't think there's any in Dawn Patrol.
Yeah. Well, see, and I only have the one female character. It's a science lab setting, but part of the reason... I mean, I had a reason for that, and part of the reason was that is to kind of show that how underrepresented women are in the sciences. There was a reason I didn't like populate it with half women. That's not reflective of reality, and it doesn't give me a platform to bitch about it. So, you know, so to have this character there who then mentors young girls about the possibilities of science education was kind of my purpose. So I failed the test, but for a damn good reason. I certainly don't consider that to be anti-feminist. She's very sex positive. She's very independent, and she's mentoring young girls. That's very feminist.
So why doesn't the young girls count as other women that she's talking to?
Wait, I don't actually show her speaking to them.
Oh, okay.
I've only got 32 pages an issue, and that takes too long.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're not there. They're just mentioned. So... I'm going back to what Melissa said about how narrow, or, you know, just the simplicity of the Bechdel-Wallace test. It's not, it doesn't actually have anything to do with whether or not it's a feminist, positive.
And that's the thing where
it makes its point is that if you apply to a lot of popular properties, whether it's film or book or whatever, right, it fails so often, and it's such a simple test. That's where its power is.
Yeah. It definitely makes you conscious of it. It makes you really look at things. Yeah. So I approve of it, but not as like a fail-safe. You can't just say, oh, well, it fails this, so screw it.
Yeah, and just because your story passes Bechdel-Wallace doesn't mean it's feminist.
Oh, yeah.
So
at least the city and Salem.
When you get into say, transgendered people,
mm-hmm,
what then? I mean, I think we mentioned this a little bit. If it's gay people, lesbians, or whatever. I mean, does it still apply?
It's going to have to come down to how they're. I really think it comes down to how they're defining themselves. If they're defining themselves by their relationship to whatever sex they're attracted to, then that would be a fail to me. You know, if that's all they're talking about.
That's the only point for the character to be there is to talk about their character X.
Or wannabe or whatever else. Yeah, that's a bit.
Yeah.
I think that would be it, because you're basically creating a shallow character for no other reason than to mention that sex is a possibility. Like,
I think that would apply to men, women, transgender, anybody. I mean, to have a well fleshed out character, they've got to be about more than sex. As fun as sex is,
fun. Even in porn, they give them a job, you know.
Pizza delivery.
Yeah, hot delivery pizza guys or hot pool boys. They have jobs.
Cabana right. boy.
Oh, God. Applying Bechdel-Wallace test to porn. Oh, God.
Well, the women don't generally talk to each other, if that matters.
But all they have to do is talk about the pizza when it arrives.
And you're good. So, and you're fine.
They don't even eat the pizza.
Why would they want to eat a pizza that has a dick just shoved right on through the bottom of the box?
I've never seen them do that.
Oh, I guess I've seen other videos.
It's a good idea to put a pizza on his penis.
It's a gross looking pizza already. I mean, it's just sausage.
How long were you working on that pun before you let it fly?
Actually, 10 seconds. But okay, that's part of the thing is the test is not necessary. Yes?
I'm glad I'm not at your house right now.
All right. Anyway, there's the thing is that part of it is that are these characters written like real people characters other than just to serve as a plot device sort of thing? You know, it's like if you can have a comic that technically fails the Bechdel-Wallace test, but I think it's most important is like, is this person actually acting like a real woman or man or whoever? Like, it's not merely there as a cardboard cutout, as a stand and not as a real character.
Look, we have a woman. She's over there talking about boys.
So in webcomics, probably the classic example is the girl at the comic shop or the girl playing video games.
Like in No the Pink Rubens, Ponies.
You know, that kind of thing, right?
The fantasy fulfillment, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a serious... you see it a lot. Every gamer comic has the one girl that everybody wishes was their girlfriend because she sits around and plays games and, you know, scratches herself and doesn't care if you fart. Like, that's... it's what every 16-year-old boy thinks is a perfect woman, you know, before they, I don't know, have a life and understand that you're going to run out of shit to talk about.
Want to know something ironic? No 16-year-old boys ever went after me when I was 16, even though I was a total gamer. What the hell was that?
Well, no, because you also have to fit this other bizarre... I mean, when you're 16, you have truly vapid ideas of what perfection is, and it tends to involve supermodel bodies, no brains, and, you know, trigger fingers. There's nothing... You're there to give blowjobs and serve as a second in Doom Squadron.
I blowjob and old beer. See,
yeah,
I think
so, and so much about
preferably
my
at the same time.
She explains a lot about my high school experience too. Yeah, no, I think it's very interesting, and to know that I've received emails telling me that that Janine, for example, was a horrible character because no women like that exist. I was like, that's me. I'm pretty sure I exist. I'm touching myself right now. Screw you.
how do you know you exist? What is real?
I know myself very well. it's very, very strange how people perceive women too, and it does come down to it's some degree to age group. You know, if you ask a 16-year-old what a perfect girl is and you ask a 32-year-old, I hope you get a different answer.
I think also generationally there's a difference in the sense that a 16-year-old 10 years ago wouldn't give you the same answer as a 16-year-old these days.
Agreed. Yeah.
She has to understand social networking, you guys. She has to flash her boobs all over MySpace. Or she does have to flash her boobs all over MySpace. I think that would be the difference between the 16 and the 32-year-old. The 16-year-old wants the girl who flashes her boobs on MySpace. The 32-year-old would be like... you might want to put those away.
I'm just thinking.
I think the 32-year-old's more like, flash them for me.
Well, the 16-year-old's are
actually, she can show me her boobs all she wants, but I don't want her showing the rest of the universe her boobs, because they're my boobs. I want to see them.
And now we have, then you have, like, Steven and I with the whole open relationship thing, and he's like, well, you can flash your boobs if you want, but that seems juvenile. And I'm like, okay. You know?
Okay.
It's not an over, you know? It's not like, those are mine, don't show them off. It's just a, well, okay, but...
I'd be like, don't show them off unless we're getting paid. That's Let's a good set point. Up that webcam, dear.
Put those boobs behind a paywall.
We've had that discussion before. This is just too small of a town. I don't need that out. My poor kids. No. So maybe what it all comes down to is, are you creating vapid characters? I mean, isn't that really what it comes down to? Is your impression of women that they are empty containers to be filled with relationships?
Oh, relationships. Okay, yes. Sorry.
No, because we're talking about the women talking to each other, and I've never even known vapid women who are like, you know what would complete me is a cock. No, it's always like a boy. Like, they have a man in mind. So
here's a question.
If I were somehow divorced or whatever, and there was some guy that I liked just for his body, I wouldn't really hesitate to say it. I'd be like, you know what? I just want to bang the guy cross-eyed. You know, just bang until he goes cross. And then never talk to him. Just be like, shut up. You don't get paid to talk. Get out.
I've had personally two people. I've walked up to someone and said, look, I'd really like to fuck you, but your personality is annoying. And you know what? Sometimes they're okay with that.
Shock. Yeah,
they're like, that's a boy thing.
Okay, here's a question.
Personally, I don't even go for people unless I like their personality. It's just part of my programming.
Yeah, then you end up regretting it later, like, ew, I slept with that one guy who was horrible. Why did I do that? That was bad. Ah.
But you said you liked me. That's what I say when I hear that.
Okay, you have a question.
My question is, how does the vapid character we're talking about complement the Mary Sue? Because it seems to me they go hand in hand like peanut butter and jelly time. In a way, their sole purpose is to boost the Mary Sue, is it not? Or support the Mary Sue in some way, do you think?
They're a Mary Sue enabler, are you saying?
They certainly
could be.
Not in all cases, I don't think, but I think there's definitely a connection between the two.
Well,
you need the one girlfriend for the Mary Sue to always talk about, the guy that she wants. Is that it? You need this astounding wall?
Although I think characters like that more are kind of like more Mary Sue's once removed. Because that's...
Are they too vapid?
That's a half-formed thought that I need to think through.
The kind of character we're talking about is technically too vapid to be a Mary Sue. They don't have enough to make them perfect. They're just there to talk about boys. So I could see them supporting a Mary Sue character because Mary Sue needs somebody to talk to about that man she just can't get. So...
Or they exist to say
Mary Sue can't get the man. The man
they
is
exist
like all
to
over
talk about the Mary Sue.
Just because
I see. So you're talking maybe about like two girls who talk about their jealousy for the Mary Sue because she gets so and so, like that kind of a scenario.
Their sole purpose is to talk about the Mary Sue and how awesome the Mary Sue is.
Male Mary Sue,
but technically, if they're too well.
So they're Mary Sue enablers, really.
Well, because if they're talking about the Mary Sue, they're not talking about a man. So then they technically
Well, they could be.
Pass.
I mean, that's the Mary Sue is like the perfect character, right? That's the selfish surgeon perfect character.
Okay, so you're talking about a Marty Sue.
Yeah, Marty Sue.
A Gary Stew?
A Gary Stew?
What?
Gary
Stew. Yeah.
I think we've gone. We're now so complex. This is like spaghetti. We can't find the ends.
Their whole purpose is to talk about the perfect character, whether that's a Mary or a Marty Sue. To talk about the perfect character, they don't really serve any other purpose, right?
That's like trying to say two wrongs make a right.
Nate brought something up. He said, you know, the two girls Mark is talking about here, he says, would those fit under the trope of those two guys? You know, where they're really supporting characters, they have nothing going for them other than they're there to define someone else. And
like
that makes sense to me.
Yeah. They're just there to help, get across that this Mary Sue is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you have, if I were some really, really insecure guy and I was writing a comic about some really awesome dude to puff up my ego, of course I'd have two hot chicks talking about how awesome my character was.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because that's what it's all about. That's what Mary Sue is all about. It's about ego stroking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes sense that the female characters supporting a Marty Stew would only really be there just to puff up his ego and make him feel better.
But what you're saying is that you're trying to, it's like you're just giving more reason why this is bad writing.
Oh, it is.
So it's
I don't think she's excusing it at all.
Yeah.
No, it's crappy writing.
Right, right.
You know, get a personality for these people and make your main character stand out for being, a standout character instead of, you know, just having people talk about how great he is and hoping your audience that it assumes they're correct. That's just crappy. That's crappy writing.
Yeah. Although there is one exception, not one exception, but there are several exceptions to the rule that shows strong female characters. They just don't have any other strong female characters to talk to. Like, Inception is a good example. There's really only two women in the whole movie, and they really have no reason to talk to each other. So,
and if I remember right, they don't exist in the same reality either.
Well, one stabs the other. One stabs the other. That's like talking.
Well, see, and that's...
It's kind of a conversation.
Use your words!
It's a form of communication, I guess.
Yeah.
The one girl character who is there, she actually is kind of a feminist figure because she is there trying to accomplish the task with everybody else who is also in really, really dreamy, hot, sexy suits. But, you know... Sorry, what was I talking about?
I get lost in sweat and body parts. But.
Although she really didn't have any personality outside of being the person who has things explained to her.
Right, right.
She's like the Doctor Who companion that she's there to be explained at.
For the intro jump, so that the audience knows what goes on.
What is the dreaming of the what? I have no idea what's going on. Just take off your pants. I'm sorry. I mean, just tell me about what dream is all about.
Yeah, Yeah.
What?
I do think that's another example that just because you fail this test doesn't necessarily mean that you've created non-feminist characters. Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. Just because you pass the test doesn't mean that you have good writing.
They're not crap-ass horrible characters.
Right.
Look at every bitchy cheerleader movie. They talk to each other about a lot of things that aren't boys, but it's not exactly what I'd consider a feminist movie. A bunch of girls who can't, do anything mostly except bitch at each other and try to be pretty. I wouldn't consider a feminist movie. Exactly. Your splits suck and you eat too much. You know, good God.
What about what about Sex in the City?
Oh, God.
although, if... I don't know if it's really fair to pronounce the standard cheerleader movie as non-feminist if it's what these girls truly want and that's the sort of world they move in and they're somewhat actualized characters within their own definition.
If you that just was
isn't
showgirls.
Isn't that kind of feminist in and of itself? It's
if that were the case, I would absolutely agree with you. Mm-hmm. So many of them focus on the girls' weight.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Oh yeah,
I cannot personally come up with an example of what I'm talking about.
But yeah, if it actually
what about,
focused
what about
on
showgirls. You just described Showgirls.
That's an awful film.
That goes without saying.
But it wasn't necessarily anti-feminist. And when you look at, if they focused on the athletic ability of cheerleading, that's a fucking sport. I've known professional cheerleaders. It's not something where you get up, look pretty, and move on. It does not work that way. It takes serious training. Yeah, it's just like being a gymnast. It's hard. It's hard work. If they were to focus on that, hell yeah, I'd be all for that. And I wouldn't even care if it was strippers. If that's what they wanted to do and they were, they had plans and goals and personalities, it could still be a feminist movie. it doesn't necessarily have to be completely
parallel bars on the ceiling that the strippers have to work on. I have a whole lot of respect for the women who
Hell
do
yeah.
that.
Have you ever tried to do anything on that pole? Anything at all?
Pole.
That's really fucking
not
hard.
One pole I would not be touching, but I imagine it's all the spinning and the hanging and all the little funny upside down crazy things that they do. Yeah, that's serious business.
And they're greased at that. So to hold on to them is really, well, they have to be. Otherwise, you kind of stick to them because the lights are hot. But, you know, there's a lot of skill there. And so, yeah, it all comes down to how are you presenting these women? As long as they're defining themselves by something other than other people, I think you can still have a feminist movie.
I'm pleasing these boys with my body and my pole spinning. That's how you don't want to do your strippers.
Yeah.
But I kind of do like the show angle where Nomi, whatever her name was, Nomi, she wanted to just rule Las Vegas. And as not really a goal, I agree. As much as I don't really agree with that goal, it was a goal that didn't necessarily revolve around men.
Right.
Right.
And it had to do with her own definition of herself. Yeah.
Right. And that's where some feminists, at least portrayed in some stories where you have, well, even in real life, where you have some feminist accusing another person that so-called claims to be a feminist because they're not this and this and this, as though there's like a feminist guideline, though. To be a feminist, you have to be precisely this. You also have to hate men, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But that's like a different issue. That spans across many groups. Where people
A whole show on its own.
Yeah,
Because of the area I'm in, where it is very polarized, we have a very liberal contingent and a very conservative contingent and not a lot in the middle. I actually go out of my way to describe myself as a sex-positive feminist because that is enough for the kind of hardcore men suck feminists to know that I'm not on their team. And
not on their team. I don't think men... Men are wonderful. A lot of the majority of men that I work with, they're perfectly nice people. I don't believe that men should be subjugated for women to, you know, ascend to the top. I believe we can get there together.
Absolutely. And awesome. So, yeah, I go with sex positive feminist, and that's enough to.
Works for me.
I think sex is positive.
And with that, we do have to take it. We have to go on another break. This would be the musical interlude break, so I will be trying to find a not offensive song on to somewhat relate to this show's topic. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go into some news and milestones, which I haven't gotten to for a while.
Butter jelly time.
No, we'll be
jelly time. Yeah.
See, this is what happens when I have you people on my show. I can't go to break.
You
peanut
people.
Butter fluffinada, peanut butter fluffinada.
All right, we'll be right back.
I only watch the shows that other guys say, yup, this really blows. That's the way it goes. They all make fun of me and I watch alone. My friends all pick on me, cause I'm a connoisseur of girl TV. I just saw season 3 of Grey's Anatomy and I watched alone. I watch alone, I watch alone. I watch alone and I watch alone. My friends all think my life is such a pity. Sex in the city. Someday I swear I'm gonna go out and find me some more testosterone. I TVO'd Will and Grace. If my friends knew, they'd punch me in the face. Cause I'm a big disgrace to males everywhere and I watch alone.
watch Rambo 3, a fine display of masculinity. Instead, it's the OC, and oh, I'm still a wuss and I watch alone. I can't watch Stallone, so I watch alone. I watch alone and I watch alone. My friends would stab me with a broken bottle if they knew I was watching Next Top Model. Someday I swear I'll get near full throttle and find more testosterone. I watch alone. It really sucks for me to be a connoisseur of girl TV, but please don't bother me when Gossip Girl is on, or I'll kick your inside. Night is gonna be just pure bliss, 'cause there's a marathon of private practice. Sometimes I wish I could have just been born.
That was Connoisseur of Girl TV by Bob Reese, found at the Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
Certainly, I'm not the only one currently on the podcast or listening who hasn't, in the middle of the act, thought, really? Okay. Come on.
No comment.
Is this what we're doing? All right.
And of course... Everybody listening to the show right now has no idea what we're talking about. That is why you have to go to webcomicbeacon.com/live, listen to our vocal stream or our Ustream stream. If vocal doesn't work, go into our Ustream, and you can listen to everything as it happens, especially nuggets of joy that just happened, and I don't happen to record them. But
you missed the nugget of joy.
Well, there are a few nuggets there. Joy. I mean, who eats just one nugget?
That was an admission that I've had shitty sex. Like, I don't know if that's a nugget of joy. Like,
I mean, what does that consist of? Like, in the middle of the act, somebody going, hey, baby, I've got a quart of axle grease. Let's add that to the mix.
Or they start saying things that are maybe uncomfortable and weird. You know, like, oh, mama. Like, oh, mama. Come on. I'm done now. Really? Are we? No, we're not going to say that.
You remind me of this little kid I met on the playground.
Oh, God!
Yeah, I don't need any of that. That would be a sex editor.
Right in the middle of sex, somebody screams, Newt Gingrich!
that would be a bad thing.
Oh, my God, what did I come back to?
All right, I got some milestones.
Mark's having sex with Newt? What?
No, just someone who really likes Newt Gingrich. No.
I mean, wouldn't that be bad sex? Right in the middle of it, somebody starts screaming Newt Gingrich's name.
Yeah.
That would definitely be a deal breaker. Yes, thank you, Mark.
Yes, that's a sex ender. There's a difference between like what I was talking about, where there's some weird, uncomfortable thing, or maybe they're making bizarre piggy noises, or, you know, something bizarre occurs, and you're just like, okay, and you kind of have to, like, try to stay with it and just... get this over with this one time so that we can have a really good discussion about what's appropriate.
Guy's just like not doing anything. He's just like, yeah, whatever. And I'm, you know, halfway through you're like, oh, wait a minute, he's not doing a goddamn thing. God damn it.
Yeah, screw this. What, you don't get to take a nap. This is a participatory sport. Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, those aren't sex enders. Someone screaming out Newt Gingrich's name. That's a get the fuck off me moment. Like, that's we're done now. Right now, we're done. That's different.
I did have sex with somebody who screamed out Jason Statham's name.
What? Was this a woman?
No.
Oh, my God. so I think the laughter would have forced sex to end. Like, you know, you get to a point where you're laughing so hard that you
yeah, we were.
And I think that's what would hurt.
You were laughing so hard, nothing else happened.
Melissa.
What? Yes.
Can I mention that one story?
I don't know which one you're talking about.
I was going to say, I think she has enough stories that just saying that one story is not definitive enough.
That one time we were making out, and I'll go ahead and say it. Okay, so
you
there's
go for it.
There's
it's too late now.
Well,
I'm curious which one you're gonna.
There
are so many.
It's just the making out part, okay. And it wasn't Pandora. But it was like Last FM playing, and I had a channel called Nature Sounds or whatever. And so that we're like, you know, we're gonna go to bed. But you know, we started making out, and suddenly the track turns to something I'm not quite hearing what. And then there's this sound while we're making out, and it's. And it was seals. It was a track with seals making sounds.
And so Fess and I just started making seal sounds at each other.
Yeah, I don't think I could see you making out with like seal running going on in the background. What the hell?
I'm going to balance a ball on your nose, and who's going to throw you a fish?
We can turn this into a role play. No, wait.
No. Oh God.
Oh man!
Instantaneously, I get an image of Bear Grylls putting on that seal like as a shirt. Have you seen that?
Oh,
wait, fucking
what?
Insane! He finds a dead seal on the beach, and he skins it and just like cuts out armholes and just puts it on like a freaking vest, and it fits amazing. And then he goes swimming, and I'm just like, how is that hot? That should be so disgusting.
It's incredibly disgusting. What?
All right.
It's extremely disgusting. He looks really good in that fucking seal. Anyway,
so maybe there
moving
is
on.
Silence of the Lambs.
I stopped watching Bear Grylls when he's doing things like giving himself enemas. So
no, I. That's not attractive. I'm just saying he looks really good
so
in the
seal.
What if you were in the middle of sex and Seal the singer started singing?
You know what? I'm done with
that'd
that.
That'd be kind of hot.
No, I can't do it.
I believe I can fly.
That's why. It's all such smarmy crap. Don't bring your romance into my sex. That's not my
Thank you. Thank you, Sonja. Thank you. I appreciate that sentiment.
Once again, this relates to Bechdel-Wallace test. Not at all. Anyway, moving.
It does. I am a real woman. This is how real women speak. They do not speak about how men, you know, complete their lives and, oh, if I could only find a man so that I would be human. No. We have real attitudes and real opinions.
Okay, fine. It relates.
And imitate seals.
All right. Okay, we got to cover some milestones.
Webcomic Beacon is so hot, baby. You're so hot.
Milestones. We have milestones.
All right.
Please, milestones.
Milestones. We have a few milestones. It's been a while since I've gotten to them, so apologies for that. Again, if you want me to list your milestones, like you've hit an anniversary, or you've hit like 100, 200, 500, 1,000 pages, send that to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Do not tweet them to me, because they will get lost. Gmail is a nice way that I can just search and record find them and everything. So that's where you want to send them to. And at first we have hitting 100 comics. We have, if I can even say this correctly, Adrastus, found at adrastus.comicdish.com. Congratulations on your 100. And with 200, we have Tara Talon's Galaxian, which we've mentioned her on the show before. That's Galaxian Comics. .com, not anything else. Yep, so congratulations on that. We also have I might have been missing somebody's, but Times Like This features his hit strip 400, and that's at timeslikethis.com. Congratulations on that. That's another comic where it features it's a man written, a female a lead, and it's filled with it basically the main character is discovers time travel, And one of the things that she does is she travels to different periods of time to have sex with assorted different people. Particularly before they get famous, sort of situation. But there are other female characters, and I'm pretty sure they do talk about other things.
I'm just trying. Why would you want to go back in history and have sex with historical figures? I don't look at most historical figures and go, "Yep, I would."
Nope. A lot of them had syphilis too.
I know. Yeah, well, it was not a good time.
But
I totally do Thomas Jefferson.
Why, Jim?
What?
Bring your skins. He wasn't. Bring your skins. He wasn't. He was a bit of a player. I'm just. I could see maybe anybody post penicillin, but before that, you're dicey.
That's basically care of my health. That's not okay.
No.
And who are you bringing modern day condoms with you?
Hell yes.
Yeah, and also she has the plot device of time travel, so she can travel to like the year 3000 something, where they've cured everything already, and just, you know, get treated.
Well, then
there.
They've also cured things like sex drive. So what's the point?
Maybe she should just get over herself. That's weird.
But anyway, that's some extra, I guess, promotional stuff for times like
There's
this.
4 billion people on the planet. Fuck one of them. Time travel seems like a lot of work.
Travel's not necessary to get laid.
Isn't it really 6 all you billion by now?
Is it 6 billion? Yeah, I lose track.
There's a lot.
There's plenty to
I think it's actually 8 billion now.
There's plenty to choose from without going back.
In the last 10 minutes, it became 8 billion.
Although you got to admit, a TARDIS is sexy.
That's because people are doing it that much.
I know there's some people I'd like to Sonic.
Just me. Okay.
Oh, God.
Like their toothbrush.
Yeah, tie them up with this scarf if they're into that. It's okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was trying to find some more milestones to talk about, but I can't seem to find any.
Milestones, goddammit!
And now my head is just entirely filled with Doctor Who bondage. So
I find it fascinating that we start talking about the Bechdel-Wallace test, and then all the women drive this into talking about sex territory.
But you notice we're not talking about, you know, he's dreamy. I hope we get married and have lots of babies, and then I can have a big event.
No, we talk about, hot foxy time. Like, dudes in hot foxy suits. Wait, what were you talking about?
Yeah.
Hot foxy time.
This is how you counteract a culture of rape, where you let them know that sex is not a commodity that we let you have if you give us stuff. It's something that we actually, I don't know, want, and we'll go after given appropriate circumstances, because we're people with like whole brains and stuff. Yeah, this is a very positive feminist conversation. I think it fits
well. Oh, man.
Yeah, we're not actually talking about men, however sad that may be. This is a horribly sexist conversation. It's just we're not being sexist against women. It's just about bits that we like.
Okay, so what have we learned?
That Bear Grylls looks good in the seal skin.
Oh, God.
I don't know about that.
Weird. Wrong, but then he puts it on and you're like, damn, that is a really nice fitting wetsuit. I don't know. Oh, God.
Well, Bear Grylls looked a lot better in the first couple of seasons. He's gotten a little doughy since then.
Well, okay, the first thing we have to admit is that technically I'm not really all that physically attracted to men at all. That's not where the hormones lie. That's just sort of a mental connection. So maybe I'm not the best determination as to what's hot in boys.
I am.
Me.
I am the.
You! Mark!
Me!
Mark is hot in boys. Now I have my definition, so we're good.
Me!
Hey, Mark, if you'd only just find the perfect man, your life would be complete, and then you could get married and have a beautiful wedding dress.
And a picket fence and a baby carriage.
And then afterwards,
well,
you can
in some states that's illegal, and well, I don't swing that way anyway, so.
Actually, the government is no longer defending that particular law anymore.
I know.
Of course, the law is still on the books, so but...
Fuck you, Doma. That's all. That's all I have to say about that. Fuck you, Doma.
Right.
Yeah, the United States are kind of in a somewhat conservative swing. There's a lot of barely winning Democrats happening, and I'm not of particularly either party. I'm probably a little bit more liberal than conservative, but I'm anti-asshole, so.
I'm generally anti-asshole, and I'm anti-discrimination, and that includes gender discrimination, so Doma's gotta go.
Huh. Anyway, so without going into politics, what the fuck is wrong with me? Political comics, that'd be something that we should discuss at some point. It could be interesting. I got to schedule March, I got to schedule April for shows to have. Let's see here, newscasts every week, and I'm really liking that. Oh, last week, we were trying to have one particular topic on, had to try to reschedule. This is like the third or fourth time I'm trying to reschedule. We'll see how that works. But what we ended up doing last week, we had essentially an open forum show again, and it was a real call-in show. People were friending me on Skype to be on the show. It's like... You know what? This is exactly what I had been hoping for an open forum episode for like all the past 5-6 open forum shows we've had. So I liked that we get to actually talk with people and assorted people that we probably wouldn't just go out and grab. So it's like you get exposed to a lot of different stuff, and it was great. I liked that, and we'll likely do it again in the future. So you'll keep that in mind.
It scares me a little, though.
Really? Why?
Every time you're like, we're going to bring on so-and-so, I'm just thinking, please don't be stupid. I like being able to sort of research the people we're talking to so that I know. It's scary to me because I don't like people. I don't know if we've been clear on that.
Well, I don't like people either, but...
I get nervous. I'm like, what if I don't know.
But then you don't say anything.
Yeah.
You just nod your head. Okay. Yeah.
Nod and smile.
or just don't call into the show. Like if there's somebody particularly heinous on there, like, I don't know. Well, one person that I usually pick on is Dave Chung, but that's because he's pretty much a pedophile. So if somebody was this, you want to be on this podcast, Dave? No, thanks. Pass.
I just like the pretty much in front of that. Pretty much a pedophile. Okay.
Well, age of consent to different countries is a little different. I don't know what it is in Scotland, but yeah, he's really fond of drawing 16-year-old girls in their underwear. So yeah.
Speaking of 16-year-old girls in their underwear.
That doesn't make him a pedophile. It just makes him middle-aged.
No, he's really spooky. I can see it. Okay, just keep it to yourself.
My segue was going to be towards the webcomic Eerie Cuties, which has. I mean, I think it's Canadian, so and the laws are different in Canada. So,
it's in Canada.
I said that on purpose. But there's like 16-year-olds in there, and they're like in their underpants, and they are dealing with, you know, I'm pretty sure that real 16-year-olds actually have these sorts of conversations. But when I'm looking at this, I'm 30 years old, and I'm reading Eerie Cuties, and it's like, should I be reading this? I mean, will I get in trouble? I'm a little uncomfortable here.
Then don't read it.
Well, it's somewhat interesting world, but it's like all the characters is like. Maybe it's more legal. Maybe it's legal. I mean, it's like, because age of consent is not necessarily 18, even throughout the United States.
That is true.
It's a lot more complex than that. But to have people in sexual sort of connotations in media, in video, in comics, and in anything, they have to be 18. Is the thing, and this is almost borderline, especially some of the extra content that I am seeing crops of. Is like, are you sure that's legal? Maybe it is in Canada. I don't know. But anyway,
it is legal in Canada. It does bring up a lot of interesting political though issues because you do have 16-year-olds who are busy having sex with other 16-year-olds, and now there are freaking lawyers trying to charge them with kiddie porn for sending pictures to each other, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
We have some weird shit with consent going on in this country. If I can have sex at 16, I should also be able to send pictures to someone else who's 16, but then how do we control the... It's a mess. We have a mess in this country, and it's all because we view sex very negatively, and we haven't thought about anything logically. We just, like, put up reactionary laws to everything that disturbs people, so it's odd.
Bottom line is, do not dishonor the family by sending naked pictures of yourself. Just show up in person and show your naked bits.
Yeah.
Good job.
Maybe
works for me.
Jules fixes it.
Done.
Anyway, I think are we done with this topic? I think we are done with this.
Oh, God, we've been done.
I think we totally murdered the topic.
Dead horse beaten.
Yeah. Fucked.
Well, what we learned.
Probably in a sexual manner. Yeah.
Right, right. Done. And I still have to find a song to put in here for the break, but...
Peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time. Sorry.
Anyway, stop. I'm going to look at musicgalley.com and The Fump, the Funny Music Project. That's where I try to get the music that I use for the show, and I'll probably start off my searches with... Jeez, I don't even know what to search for that. I won't find something horrible. Feminism. Oh, I have no idea what to even look for. But that'll be interesting, as we obviously don't know what it is yet. But let's see here. I think that is all for... This is all the time we should have for the show today. I have been a fess of TooManyThingsToList.com. We, of course, had... Jules Rivera of Marsh Rocket, as well as Valkyrie Squadron. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yo.
And, of course, Melissa Kircher of the Geek Life podcast at thegeeklife.tv. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And, of course...
It's like Chewbacca making out.
This is the worst mating call ever, Fess. We need to work on this.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Which other animal should we try next?
Whoa.
We'll try.
That sounded way too open. You should really narrow down that kind of question there, because...
I know. I'll I'll research some tropical birds, and I just heard what you were saying.
Oh God, no, we
now you just now got it. That's funny.
Anyway, I've been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of thewebcomicbeacon.com.
And this is Mark of autumnlake.com.
We are done.
So done.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
Maybe? I don't know. We started pretty good, but by the end, I don't know if... I've been doing this show for over 3 years. I know how much in the hole this show can go.